Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the subdivision committee meeting for Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. My name's Laurie Alonso. I'll be serving as the subdivision committee chair this morning. Before we get started, I'd like to just do a quick roll call, starting to my left.
BB Minus, Land Development.
Stephen Dawson, OC Survey.
Eric Hall, OC Parks.
Ted Dang, OC Public Works.
Ruben Colmenares, Orange County Fire Authority.
So I just wanted to make sure that everyone understands there are additional staff agendas, staff reports at the back of the room if you haven't received one already. I'm just going to over a little administration. The agenda contains the brief description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item that is not appearing on the agenda. Written materials must have been received 24 hours in advance of the meeting to ensure proper consideration by the committee. To speak on an item, please be sure to enter your name into the record and sign in on our sign-in sheet. And you'll be able to speak during the public comments period. To speak on a matter not appearing on the agenda, there will be time at the end where you could speak at that time. Please be sure to address the subdivision committee as a whole, and basically through the chair we'll be directing your comments. Comments to an individual committee member or staff are not permitted. So speakers will be limited to 3 minutes on any item and within 20 minutes cumulative total for the entire meeting for the agenda. All right, so with that, we will call the meeting to order, and I'm asking for anyone for an approval of the minutes from June 5th.
I'll move to approve the meeting minutes from June 5th.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Second.
And seconded by Mr. Ted Dang, committee member Ted Dang. Alrighty, so moving along in the agenda, I need to take a vote on that, I'm so sorry. So if everyone, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Hearing none, the meeting's minutes are approved, the motion has been moved. So a quick pause for the meeting. Our chair has arrived, and so we will be switching roles today. So for the roll call, Mr. Colby Cataldi will be taking over as chair, and Larry Alonzo will move to vice.
Your spot.
It's cool. Okay. Oh, please do not put that on the record. So we're moving to Mr. Chair, we're moving to the discussion items. So we are ready to start with item number one.
Staff is here prepared to introduce item number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number one is two maps, 17269 and 17270. Although my presentation will talk with them as a combined project, committee will be asked to approve the maps individually. And there are separate findings and conditions of approval included in your packet for both of the maps. This project is for a proposed gated community of 72 single-family lots within the combined tracks. It's located off of Ortega Highway in an area that portions of it abut Riverside County. So one housekeeping item on your staff report, the landowner and subdivider please delete Silver Oak Capital. They're no longer involved in the project, so the applicant is Reserve of San Juan, LLC. Project went through an extensive planning process culminating in an April 2018 approval by the Board of Supervisors of a final EIR and a zone change for the site to redesignate the site to agricultural residential. The two maps, 17269 is the northerly of the two. It gains access from Blonde Canyon Drive. It has a couple other names depending on the map you look at. Off of Ortega Highway, and it's about 2,000 feet in the north of Ortega Highway. To access the northerly parcel, access is across some land that's currently owned by U.S. Forestry. It was addressed through the planning process, and a condition of approval is there, and also proposed to be attached to the approval of this map, that prior to the issuance of grading permit, that the applicant demonstrate that he's acquired the long-term access rights from the federal government to use that to access the residents. The Sudley parcel, 17270, gains access directly from Long Canyon Drive. And there is also a portion of the map that there is an off-site loop street outside the boundaries of the map. And although it was outside the boundaries of the map, it is owned by the same owners. However, that off-site loop is within the county of Riverside. So there'll be necessary to see the approvals from the county of Riverside before that is constructed as part of this project. Being in its certain location, the utilities will basically come from some Riverside agencies, most particularly the Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District. And the project is already conditioned by the planning approvals to annex into that water district. There are also other coordinations with the federal government approvals and some of the other utility providers. Staff has suggested a condition of approval. I'm sorry, I don't have the number right here, but basically we'll require the applicant to provide a coordination matrix for planning and building and safety, so we are sure all of these pieces fall into place and nothing falls through the cracks. Because there's going to be a lot of different agencies involved in the development of this project that the County of Orange doesn't normally deal with. So it will be a little bit out of the normal routine of process, and the applicant will be asked to demonstrate in a flow chart or some other acceptable means all of the separate agency approvals that we need to see, and we'll check that off, and hopefully through that, nothing will be missed, and we'll be sure all the agencies in this county and Riverside County are on the same page for the approval of the project. The applicants propose that initial grading of the site will be done from two on-site wells that exist. Staff is recommending a special condition of approval that prior to the issuance of grading, studies or other analysis be submitted acceptable to the manager of permit services that demonstrate that the on-site wells in fact will deliver sufficient amount of water to cover the grading of the project, grading and clearing. The project includes a number of deviations from the standards of design. They're listed on page 7 of your staff report. These deviations are consistent with map design issues that were dealt with in the planning approval. County traffic concurred in the approval of those deviations. Project was publicly noticed, and staff has not had any comments from members of the public regarding the approval. So we recommend that you approve the maps individually in two separate actions, subject to the findings and conditions of approval that were attached to your staff report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cannon. Are there any questions by the committee members?
There are.
Okay.
So in the report, there's on page 6 of 9, it says the fire master plan and a conceptual fuel modification plan have already been approved. It doesn't really state specifically what SR number those were approved under. I researched a little bit in our system to verify that these are both in there. I see a conceptual fuel modification plan approval for 2016, which is approved, and then I see also in our system that since that time in 2018, there were some subsequent revisions submitted by David Otis, the applicant's fire consultant, back into OCFA for a fire protection plan, a fuel modification plan, and a fire master plan, all of which remain unapproved in our system. I don't know that whether or not that application was withdrawn, but typically with revisions in our system, what that means is it's a replacement plan to whatever original approval was given back in 2016. It's problematic in that we would like to verify that the fuel modification boundaries and approvals still stand under the current code, and that the fire master plan that we approved still complies with the requirements that are listed in today's code. I think there is a way to possibly move this forward and maybe we could talk about that a little bit later. But that's my main question, is that in this report itself, it does list off a couple of items, one of which is not one of the exhibits. It's only the conceptual field modification plan that's an exhibit, not a fire master plan. So they're not one and the same.
This project was approved at the Board of Supervisors in 2018?
Yes, April 2018.
Okay. So staff or applicant, is there a response or clarification?
One of the attachments, not physically, but an online attachment that was provided, the link was provided to staff, included the approved fire master plan and conceptual field mod plan with stamps from OCFA. I understand it's complicated fact that we're going to see revisions in the plan, and I wasn't aware of that, and speaking for the applicant, he wasn't aware of any revisions that had been submitted. The concern is, what are these revisions and what are they really doing? Looking merely at the land plan from those stamped plans that were attached to the report and the maps before you, the land plan visually is the same. Again, Ruben's only came to me earlier today on this, so I didn't get into a very intricate review of the two. But perhaps the applicant has more to shed on this.
Do you, applicant? Not trying to put you on the spot.
Can you shed any light?
Well, good afternoon, committee members. I'm happy to be here. Staff, thank you for an excellent presentation. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I wish I could shed more light on that, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't aware of this until Ruben walked in and talked about it. Now, my understanding, and Ruben, you can correct me, from my understanding, the way OCFA works, we have to have the fuel modification plan done as part of any tentative track map. But the fuel or the fire master plan typically is not a requirement under any entitlement action. That is done at a later date. I know that David Otis likes to process both together, and so the only thing I can think is that he threw in the fire master plan, and that's maybe where it caused some confusion. I haven't been able to get a hold of David to confirm this, but from what Ruben's telling me about the dates and the times and everything, that seems to make sense. And so my question to Ruben is, do I have that understanding correct, that the fire master plan is typically not required during the entitlement action, but it's required as part of the building permit process or the grading process, whatever you want to tie that to?
So that's actually kind of where I was leading with this, is in your conditions of approval for this application, it says that there's some timing for a fire master plan to be approved. Naturally, kind of asks the question, if the report says it's already approved and it's in it as a condition of approval that it needs to be approved prior to issuance of grading permit, why is it in there as a condition if it's already approved? One. And the second item is, we can move the timing for this down the line, actually instead of down the line, back up the line, so that it's prior to recordation of map that a fire master plan shall be done. But I think that'll resolve it, because that gives the applicant enough time to basically work with David, and David to work with us, to basically verify that those items actually really work for this plan. Yeah. I think that's a fair resolution for that.
The applicant finds that an acceptable resolution. Thank you very much.
Okay. I would suggest the timing rather than, and again, subject to your comment, rather than prior to recognition of map, it'd be prior to prior to issuance of grading permits. That's the crux of where.
The grading permit will come sooner than the map, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's got. That's fine.
Because if he's going to be moving,
it's actually
dirt,
sooner.
Yeah,
that's sooner.
That's so what you're going to.
Fire's okay with that, then we can do it.
That's there. Fine if that's the sequence.
Sure. And then the other thing, just to respond to your question, if there is an approved plan, why is a condition in there? There are just a long history of reapplying standard.
Safeguard
conditions. Safeguard conditions.
Yes.
Redundancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's stock. It's baked into the set of conditions.
Understood.
And in the event they perform early, that's a bonus, I suppose.
Very good. Okay.
I do have other comments. Is now appropriate time, sir?
Well, how about this?
Okay.
Normally, I take public comment before we start really engaging with some questions so we can address any public comments in the process, too. I'll open that up now. Is there anyone from the public wishing to comment on the project? I've opened up the public hearing. Now, is there anyone wishing to speak on the project? Seeing none from the public, I'll go ahead and close the public hearings. And then we'll open it up for questions that we've already engaged. And so, are there any further questions from the committee?
I have one question.
Okay, just
one. Ms. Menace?
I'd like to understand, or if you can explain, please, how the map addresses the Subdivision Map Act requirement that the design of the subdivision provide for future passive or natural heating or cooling opportunities. Or is there something particular that was not conveyed in the staff report that exempts the project from that requirement?
No, that criteria is held, but it is essentially a vacant site that has open access to air and sun, and then through the building permit process would be able to install solar energy. They're large lots for air and passive access and recreational opportunities on the site. Not clear if there's anything else I can respond to that.
Well, I guess the question is, how does that interplay with the design of the lots and the configuration? I understand later building code will require next year mandatory solar ready capabilities, but this requirement is specific to tract maps, to subdivision maps.
Yes. I don't know how else to respond to that other than it is a typical finding that is required, and staff has not, to my knowledge in past, we haven't addressed that on a map-to-map basis. It is a typical subdivision with the County of Orange, grading of relatively large lots on an open site. You don't have any neighbors to worry about blocking their access to solar energy opportunities or restrictions to access to solar energy opportunities in the development of the site.
Are there any other further questions or follow-up questions?
Just a clarification, if I could, on the staff report. I believe it's page 5, paragraph 2, on the master plan of local parks. The developer has the option of either providing local park land to the required ratio of the fees. Has the developer opted to pay the other fees?
Yes.
No other questions.
If there's no further questions by the committee.
I have one, Mr. Chair. So it's not really a question, it's more just a clarification and just kind of to reemphasize, because we know that the I have identified that the upper map, the 1769, is the map that does require the access with the agreement with the
Forestry Service.
Thank you, Mr. County. So I know there's not a specific condition that we're going to put at the map level, but I think you spoke to a little bit in your report that the previous planning applications and everything does have a lot of conditions in it, and it will be identified as part of that matrix and compliance. Just wanted to make sure that we noted that is very important, because the track map can't record without making sure that there is access there. So we need to make sure that that is obtained before those lots are recorded. So just kind of wanted to put that into the record and just as a reminder.
And it's in here again as condition 15.
Oh, it is. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. With no other comments in the committee, Mr. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. Point of clarification, Kevin briefly touched on it. I just want to make sure for the applicant, it is not Silver Oak Capital and or SIC Acquisitions LLC. It is the Preserve at San Juan LLC. I want to talk specifically about, if I could direct everyone to condition number 15 for track number 17270, and it's the same condition for tract number 17269. So if you guys could look at that, I would like to read that out loud, and when I see everyone's ready, I'll talk about that. The language in these conditions require prior to issuance of a grading permit or recordation of a subdivision map, whichever comes first, that addresses your concern. The subdivider shall provide evidence of that right-of-way access rights and necessary road improvements to and or across off-site properties necessary to implement the project have been secured in perpetuity. First question, how am I to provide necessary off-site improvements without a grading permit? If I'm unable to obtain the necessary permits, how can I ever provide evidence required? My suggestion is to delete necessary road improvements from each condition. Does that make sense? So in other words, you guys want me to build the road, but I can't get a permit to build the road unless I provide you evidence I am allowed to build the road. So I can never meet the condition if I have to build the road improvements first.
The intent was not to, my intent in writing this condition probably obviously should have been written more clear, not to require that the road be improved, but to cover the potential that his access right is this 50 feet, but to build the road he needs another 65 foot width somewhere. So I wanted to be sure that his access rights were sufficient that he could build his road within that width.
Right.
Perfectly logical. But, you know, if we're all not around and somebody else is reading this, it could be interpreted, go build that road first, and then, you know, we'll go, you know, work on the paperwork. And with Forest Service, and specifically with track 17269, now, you know, I agree with the condition the way it's been written, and but I want to make sure how that language is going to work, and I think we need to clarify it somehow, because if you read it just on its surface, it just doesn't quite flow correctly as far as timing.
Okay.
Perhaps it could be written as access rights sufficient to accommodate necessary road improvements.
Okay.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
Secondly, track 17270 has the same condition. I do have a request on that, of which the language we just talked about for 17269 is acceptable, with one exception for track 17270. That track already has a primary access off Long Canyon Road, and the secondary fire access road, the way it's written now is that I would have to get all this paperwork and secure that right-of-way in perpetuity. In that particular situation, United States Forest Service is open to giving me an easement for that, but the easement's only for 20 years. And so I talked to Kevin about this, and what I would like to suggest that we do is delete in perpetuity and put in something about, you know, a 20-year easement or something, because I just know what I can get and what I can't get. On the other side of the road, what you're requiring makes perfect sense, because that's the primary access to the development. On the other side, this is just the secondary fire access, and it'll be much easier for me to get an easement, but Forest Service, it's very difficult to get roads in perpetuity from them.
Okay, so you don't have to, for your primary access to that site, you don't need the Forest Service consent.
I do
only
not.
Only for secondary access.
Only for secondary. Secondary fire.
Secondary fire. So this question really seems to go into the court of OCFA here, mm-hmm. versus probably, I don't know, anyone else here. Okay, so do you have thoughts on that?
So that secondary access, is that for 17270? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that secondary access point is the one that's shown to the west, this location here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And was that part of an approved fire master plan requirement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they only offer that up for a 20-year period, do they renew that?
It's renewed every 20 years.
Yeah.
You have to go through the environmental process with them. And so
Is that a NEPA? What is that?
Yeah, NEPA, exactly.
It's in my experience with the feds, they're typically renewed for the 20-year timeframes without a whole lot of question around it. It's just not certain, right? Because it has a limitation, a time frame. That's the obvious concern for us.
The secondary access requirement, what did that evolve from? What was the initial intent of that evolution?
Because our desire to provide a secondary access for the project. Okay. That's what drove it. I don't recall OCFA ever requiring it. We just volunteered that from day one, so we thought that was a good land plan to have a secondary access there so that we had those two points further apart.
How many lots are there?
Huh?
How many lots are there?
43 on that one.
So that's well below the typical 150 threshold that we
have. Right.
Jeff, this access is fire access only.
Fire access only is below the 150, but we just thought it was a good thing to do.
So it's an additional bonus to what's the minimum requirement, basically?
Correct.
And at no point in time there was a negotiation as part of your approved fire master plan or fuel modification plan that this be in place for other reasons?
No.
Okay.
And like the chairman said, we're under the 150 unit threshold, so it was just seemed like good practice to do something like that.
Is the concept of the heliport still in play here? The emergency evac, heliport, 1 acre?
Well, the whole new fire station is still in play, that's for sure, with Cal Fire. So, by which Ruben probably doesn't know anything about that whole situation. So.
No.
So that seemed like a reasonable solution for that specific condition. Otherwise, I didn't have any other comments in regards to the conditions as written by staff.
How long is that road before you get to that dead end, to the last end of that property?
I think like 300 feet.
I mean, within the track. So if you come in the main entrance and you make it all the way to the very end before you get to the emergency exit.
That's a good question. I would have to guess 3,000, 4,000 feet. I mean, you gotta look at the context of this project. We're building 43 units on 80 acres and each lot's an acre. So the streets get long really fast. And so I'm just guessing what that number would be. I think it's about a third of the way around, and I have about 9,000 linear feet of street in that project.
Well, if the measure is voluntary and it's more than what's currently required by code, we'll work with the applicant to basically allow language be put in place that allows it to be renewed every 20 years, if that's okay.
And I would say, and require the applicant to make an application to the federal government each and every 20 years to secure an additional 20 years. So 20 years doesn't go by and then you wash your hands of it and don't try anymore.
No, that would be acceptable, sir. Thank you.
Does that get built into part of an HOA agreement, or how does that work?
How do you reflect that in the record, Mr. Canning, so it's enforceable? Is it a notation on the map? Is it?
Certainly, that's the way to record it, yeah. You can have HOA. Mm-hmm. HOA will be responsible for fuel modification.
The maintenance.
That would be acceptable.
I want to make sure we have the proper instrument identified here, where we're.
We put in language that I'll bring back to the chairman.
Okay.
And that basically stipulates that the HOA will be responsible for ongoing fuel modification maintenance on annual basis. I'll get the wording, I think it's annual, but and as part of that, the HOA will be responsible for maintaining access to that secondary access through the renewal of
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's acceptable. All
right. I'd also like to suggest, based upon Ruben's concerns, condition 18, so we've got it there, and this just talks to the fire master plan. Again, I don't know exactly how we would do it, but I will revise this language for the chairman's review that basically throws in the conceptual fuel modification too. So OCFA has a certainty that they'll review that, we'll be able to resolve what these revisions are. And it's also the possibility that since the approval of both of those plans, regulations
in the area may have changed, updated, and certainly that plan isn't grandfathered in. He may need other technical changes to meet current regulations.
So it's actually three reviews that are done. There's a fire protection plan, which is the overall review of the area that it's in and identifies Chapter 78 requirements, essentially. And then there's a fuel modification plan, which is the boundary that goes around the track, that is the modified fuels that help to prevent the fire from spreading into the track itself. And then there's the fire master plan, ultimately, which is the fire department access and water plan that dictates the size of streets and turnarounds and grades and those items. So it's really all three that work together for development of this type. And the two that are most critical would be the fire protection plan and the fuel modification plan. Fire master plan, as you mentioned, usually typically done prior to issuance of building permit.
Okay.
So just, hi, Lori Lonzo again. Just real quick, on the access though, I know there's been plenty of discussions on this because we went to the board and they said a lot of the access and the legal building site and everything would be handled at the map level. So are we sure we don't want to put an extra note on the map? And I don't know, I know there's been conversations with county council on the best way to ensure the legal building site, and it sounds like we're in touch with your fire access through the HOA and everything, but just to ensure that the future owners of the homes have a legal building site at all time, because I know we know we're going for this 20 years and then 20 years and 20 years for access, but a lot of us won't be around 20 years and 20 years from now. Is that the access?
We're talking about the renewal only for the secondary fire access.
Is that all?
I don't think you objected to in perpetuity for the main access for.
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
No, just the secondary fire. The other condition is fine.
So with that said, though, for the legal building site, is the forestry department going to provide a permit, or is it every 20 years that they also have to renew that permit?
I don't know what the forestry service will do.
Okay.
But before we check it off, that main access to 69, we need to know that it's there in perpetuity.
Right, and I just know it was a big issue, and I knew that we kind of pushed it to the subdivision committee to ensure that we have legal, you know, access on these legal lots. So I'm just trying to catch up to speed, make sure that we have, you know, we're covered by that.
17269 basically cannot build, get a map or anything unless I get a grant deed.
Right.
From Forest Service is basically what it comes down to. That's
okay. That's
probably the only instrument I'm going to get that's going to satisfy that condition, and I will understand that.
All right. It just, we have a lot of
ambiguity
about it. I'm just kind of, now I'm in this seat here and having to make a recommendation to approve something, and I just like a little facts on it so I can make the best recommendation.
No, staff and I discussed it, and I was acceptable with staff's language on that, so
okay,
understood.
Great. Thank you, guys. And since I missed the condition, which Mr. Canning pointed out, I was good, so I've reread it. I'm comfortable with that. I just want to make sure we all know what we're dealing with on that.
We were well aware of staff's previous concern and wanted to adequately address those to the subdivision committee.
Thank you very much.
I do have another question on secondary access that is voluntary. Since it is voluntary, is that really a condition that we want to place on the future homeowners? To have to go through the NEPA process and the process, whatever the federal forestry agency's process is. I just wonder, with the community is so small, and my guess is maybe the HOA split. I don't know if it'll be 43 and 19, the HOAs, two separate HOAs, or even a small HOA, 72. It's not a lot of people.
The secondary access is part of the approval showing it. So. It's voluntary in the sense that it didn't hit the threshold that the OCFA would have looked for a mandatory secondary emergency vehicle access. But looking at the future, I mean, just conceptually, I think it is in the Forest Service's best interest to be sure that this subdivision has adequate fire safety provisions, because, you know, a fire here will only spread to Forestry Service land, so I can't see the negative of them allowing that access to go away.
It's virtually a ministerial to gain that consent from the Forest Service, but there's a process nonetheless. And like you were saying, it's already part of the board approval. So we're just trying to shore it up as the best way to implement. And we put that, we're putting that in the hands of the HOA because they're the ones that'll be there. So I can't think of any other avenue that could more solidify something here.
I don't know, it just seems a burdensome process for an HOA. Most people aren't that technically skilled and they will have to hire somebody and I don't know. I'm just wondering about the cost, whether that's fair to future homeowners. I don't know, it just seems.
Well, without other options, without other options, I don't know how else to.
Well, the county required otherwise that secondary access.
Well, I have a question on that, just teeing off your question. So was that part, was that addressed at the board level when they did the approval? Like, did they, was that part of the approval that we had to have that secondary access or was it just an extra additive that we added?
So the county would be in more of a standard place of treating this like it would any other applicant because it wouldn't want to take things, treat one differently, right? So you want to treat them all the same, have the level of fairness and all that type of stuff. Now, understanding this is not the same, a similar property as something in North Tustin. They are not equal. Fire prone, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to have, an add-on, so to speak. Depending on the board's, the seasonality of the board hearing, of what season it comes, if it's in December, maybe less attention. Well, actually, December's after November, which is a fire season, so that's probably not good. But anyways, we have had many fires in Southern California. We all know this. And so I think this is another add-on because, as a safety, public safety issue, right? And so sometimes you do what's in what you think is, right and in the best interest of everyone, and they're sometimes not easily, implemented,
right?
Or cleanly implemented. So you try to craft the best method forward to do it. And I don't know another body around that can actually do this. Getting this consent from the Forest Service, like Mr. Cannon saying, when I've done it from a county's perspective in another county, it was very much ministerial, and they do have a benefit on their side that they want to provide the access to. There are crisis in a fire is their crisis in a fire, things of that nature. So they didn't object to the project itself as a separate body, so they would have the same motivation as us to assure a second access. I don't see a different real estate play coming into the Forest Service's hands to where they'd have competition, like they want to do something else with that easement or that property.
Correct.
So I don't see it being a problem in all practicality.
And it's speculative, but I would think the renewal process has got to be a little easier than the
even more ministerial
process
than the previous one, right? And I don't know that there's even a NEPA required. It probably just umbrellas under the previous one. It's just checking a box.
But also back to our, because part of our approval process is for the best safety and everything, but we're also thinking of the future homeowners. So balance with that, the future homeowners would not say buyer beware, but they would be aware. I mean, they're out there in a kind of a far remote area at this time. Maybe that is part of their purchasing. I mean, it's their decision. So, if I had to live personally out there, I'd probably like the fact that there's two accesses just in case there were a fire. So I'd have more
options
for my fire people to help me. So I think that'll be part of their selling package possibly. I'm not in the real estate market, I don't know. But I'm saying maybe that is something that the buyer would be advised of that. So they would know that it's going to be rolled into their homeowner fees. So they would know up front. I agree with my colleague here. The homeowner probably has no idea how much those costs will be with this fire to keep it up. But, if they're paying for the house, they're going to pay for their safety as well. So
you can go down and talk about the insurability of these homes, too. The premiums are going to be a premium. Are there any other questions or comments?
One last thing, I guess. So as part of the fire master plan review for access and water and or maybe even the fire protection agreement for this area, we can do a little bit further investigation with the forestry department and find out exactly what resource this homeowners association might have in order to roll it up and make it a little bit neater, mm-hmm. and maybe even something more in perpetuity that will last. can't guarantee any outcome on that, but I can certainly say that we can investigate into it, and it benefits our side because our guys can get in two ways and people can get out two ways. And you definitely, in a wildland situation, you don't want people to have options when they're that far down the road at the long dead end of something in a wildland interface area. It's bad enough trying to get out, you know, in the dark, in a rush, with lots of other vehicles, and we've seen what happens, so it's always a good idea to have a second exit, second way out. So thank you.
All right, is there a motion on the project?
Separate motions for each.
Pardon me?
A motion for each man.
Okay, so two maps.
So before we make a motion, could we ask for a clarification of the changes that are being proposed or that have been accepted by the applicant
Thank
so
you.
That we make our motion and make it a little easier?
For both maps, condition 18 will be revised to offer reference to conceptual fuel modification programs. I will run that by Ruben to be sure if it meets his intent and his
and fire protection plan.
Condition 18 will also be revised to discuss, I think it's most appropriate here, but it may be a separate question, but there will be a condition that discusses the HOA's responsibility for ongoing maintenance of fuel modification and a clause within that condition that discusses the renewal of the secondary fire access for 7-0. 7-0 will also, in respect of that, condition 15, the requirement for in perpetuity will be deleted, and again, maybe where I'll put the fire responsibility and the renewal. I'll just need to see how structurally that is best. So I've got HOA renewal, removal of in perpetuity for 7-0, in both maps, a refinement to an expansion, if you will, really, to condition 18. Regarding OCFA's various levels of fire review.
Sufficient. Is there a motion from the committee on the project?
So I will be happy to go ahead and make a motion to find that the final EIR number 618 was previously certified by the board and is adequate to complete the environmental documentation for, we'll do one map at a time, so best intent of track map 17269, and is consistent with CEQA and state guidelines and local CEQA procedures. Additionally, we'll conditionally approve vesting intent of track map 17269 with the revised condition 18 and 15 as eloquently stated and summarized by staff member Mr. Canny. And that is my motion.
Second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, hearing none. The items pass unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Weber.
I need to do the second. I don't think I can say ditto, but what I will do, I'll go ahead and make the finding for the EIR as previously, make the motion for tentative track number 17270, that the EIR is previously certified by the Board of Supervisors, is adequate and complete, and is consistent with CEQA and the state guidelines and local CEQA procedures manual. And then also make the motion for the conditionally approved vested tenant track map 17270 with the revisions to conditions 18 and 15 as previously stated. That is my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, passes unanimously. Thank you again, Mr. Weber.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Candy, for coming up with all of this question.
So, discussion item number two of public hearing regarding tenant parcel map in North Tustin.
Thank you. The subject map was previously approved by the subdivision committee a couple of years ago. I'm sorry. However, the applicants inadvertently allowed the map to expire prior to recordation. So this is just a resubmittal of the original map. It subdivides the property in 20,000 plus square foot site into two 10,000 plus square foot parcels, and 10,000 square foot being the minimum lot size. The project was subject to a negative declaration because it didn't qualify for a categorical exemption because we could not find that the average slope was less than 20%. This is a sloping site from the street frontage down away. The project is only for the subdivision of lot. No improvements are required, and there are this application was recommended for approval by the North Tustin Advisory Committee, supported. Staff is recommending that the previous negative declaration be used for the environmental finding that has been reviewed with our CEQA staff, and they said that is a valid suggestion. The standard conditions of approval that I can explain if you have any questions. So again, this is just a lot split. There are portions, remnants of previous structures on the site, and there's a condition of approval that those will need to be removed prior to the recordation of the map should there be any setback problems with the creation of that new property line. There probably would be. With that, concludes my staff report, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on the project? I'll open the public hearing.
The applicant is here. Do you have any objections or comments?
So seeing that there's no one here to speak on the project from the public, I'll close the public hearing. Are there any questions from the committee or staff?
I do recall this project before, and it is, I will just put into the record, it is rare for the North Tustin Advisory Committee to actually recommend approval of a map. So I feel as if this one was probably properly vetted through the public and the whole hearing process. I would advise the applicant probably not to let this expire again. It's very difficult to come back here again. But with that said, I'm leaning towards this is probably an easy one for us to consider.
All right. Is there a motion for the budget? I don't see any other comments.
Good.
Is there a motion?
So, anyone else want to make a motion? Or I can go into it. All right. So, since I was recommending that we probably should be fairly easy for us, I will go ahead and make the recommendation for approval to find that negative declaration on tentative tract map 2014-103, previously certified by the subdivision committee, is adequate, complete, and appropriate environmental documentation and consistent with CEQA state guidelines and local procedures. And also make the motion to approve tentative tract map 2018-154, subject to the attachments and conditions.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none. The item passes unanimously. And we move to item number 3 on the agenda, public hearing for the parcel map, again in the northwestern end. County Planning Staff?
Tentative parcel map 218-194. Is the request to subdivide an approximate 31,000 square foot property into two lots. Each of the two parcels will be slightly over 15,000 square feet. The minimum lot size in this area is 10,000 square feet. No improvement, property improvements are proposed with this application, just a subdivision. Of note is given the existing pattern of development, which is no formal sidewalks in this immediate vicinity, county traffic, after much consideration, decided not to require curbs and gutters along the frontage of the property, so there is no condition that requires that. This application, this map, was not reviewed by the North Tustin Advisory Committee. It was scheduled for the committee, and you may not know, they had a resignation, so there was not a quorum to hold the meeting. Staff consulted with county council, and based upon the fact that we didn't know when a new member would be appointed to NTAC. It was considered that, given the project met all various subdivision standards, that it would be appropriate to allow it to proceed to the subdivision committee, given that there wasn't an active NTAC body in place to review it at the time. Just this afternoon, very shortly before the meeting began, I received a phone call from a neighbor. They were concerned, if I can, I don't know, are they here? Okay. They were concerned with the size and location of homes, future homes on the site. I explained that today's action is only for the subdivision of the property, and in fact, the subsequent construction of the homes would be a ministerial process. They would just submit. Are you here for this?
I live next door to
the home. All right, then I'll very briefly and allow you to state your own case. But let me finish first. And concerned about protection of trees on the property, where the access, street access from the lot on parcel one would it be onto Fairhaven, would it be onto Foothill? And again, I explained that this is just the subdivision process. Later construction of the homes is a non-discretionary review by the county. And basically, but they express an interest to come and express their concerns to you today. So project meets all the general criteria of the subdivision code, and staff recommends its approval.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Canning. Of course, the project will be subject to all the building permit, grading permit requirements, as any other construction project would be. So we'll go ahead and go to the public. I'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on the project? If so, then
I have a question.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am. You may be
I
first.
Just want to ask where the frontage is.
Oh, where's the front of the property?
Where
the driveway would take access to a street?
Yeah, are they both going to face on Fairhaven, or are they both going to face?
Have you seen the map? Have you seen what the subdivision will look like?
I think that's what she's asking for. Yeah. A little once over.
Okay, this is one, and this is the other. So this could be one or the other. This would definitely be Fairhaven.
Okay, I just wondered whether you were going to do it this way or that way.
Okay.
That's fine. I have no objections. I just wanted to know.
Okay. Yeah.
Did we speak on the phone earlier today?
Excuse me?
Did I speak to you on the phone?
No.
Okay. Then I guess maybe we'll need to get here in time. We discussed at length the schedule and everything.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you are okay with the plan. Is anyone else from the public wishing to speak on the item? Seeing none, hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Are there any questions from the committee members or county planning staff?
Mr. Kenny, I do have a question. I apologize for not asking this sooner of you before the meeting. I just wanted to ask, so that the parcels now has a existing house and existing garage?
The structures were demolished in December.
Oh, okay. Then I don't need to ask my question. Thank you so very much.
See,
you know where I was going, though.
Okay. Seeing no further questions by the committee, is there a motion on the item?
I'll be happy to take a cut at that. I just wanted to, if I could, Mr. Canning, just clarify the secret component again. I know you spoke to that on the staff report, mentions the project is categorically exempt.
I'm sorry.
Excuse
me.
Moving too fast.
Can you speak up just a little bit, please?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And with that, move to approve tentative parcel map number 2018-194, subject to the staff's conditions contained herein, and a categorical exemption.
Okay, is there a second on the motion?
I'll second.
All right, there's a second. All in favor for the project?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, then the project is approved unanimously. So thank you very much. All right, so the next item on the agenda are general public comments. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on any issue at Desire? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Next meeting will be held, scheduled for August 7th, 2019. Thank you very much.